Tweet at Today SOR.
Rory McIlroy, as we know, is the toast of the golfing world this morning, but in the equally glamorous world of GAA. It was a winning weekend for the Dubs in Croke Park and for Donegal in Clonus. Kildare and Armagh came through two in the football, and the march of Wexford continues in hurling after they beat Waterford. I'm joined now by All-Ireland winning footballer with Down, Conor Deegan, Fiona Looney, columnist with the Irish Daily Mail, and Frank McNally, Irish Times columnist and disappointed Monaghan man. Commiserations, Frank. Conor, you know a lot about golf. You're plus an outrageous number, something like five or six, as an amateur. Rory McIlroy, how impressive is he now?
I think he was pretty impressive prior to it, but certainly did. I think how he carried himself all weekend was the impressive thing. He shot 66 66, and after, you know, watching him yesterday, I just didn't see any way he was going to lose that.
Even though he had those bogeys, was it on 5 and 6, and then Sergio came back at him?
Yeah, but he'd birdied the first. You know, he was swinging exceptionally well. You know, you're going to get an odd hiccup. There's very few rounds of golf are absolutely perfect. So, you know, to drop one or two shots in the knowledge you're probably going to pick up a few, it's not a major. I think you had Padraig Harrington speaking, who would obviously know this very well, was able to talk about it. And the chasers were always going to falter a little bit. Like, we've seen that Garcia on 15 puts one in the bunker, doesn't get it out. That can't happen. He needed to hold that bunker shot to really put pressure. And I thought it was hugely impressive.
Fiona.
Well, golf for me is the devil's game, so you're asking the wrong person. I have to say, I am a fan of reckless betting. So I was pleased that Rory won because of his father's audacious bet that he put on. You probably know about this, when Rory was 15, that he would win the British Open by the time he was 25. So I would imagine £50,000 to Rory McIlroy's father in this day and age is fairly much small change, but there's a principle involved. So I'm delighted that...
£50,000 taken from a bookie is... It's always much sweeter than any 50,000 that you earn in real life. I'm sure he regrets that it wasn't 100,000 or 500,000. I don't know much about golf either, like you, Fiona. I don't really like the game, and yet to see Rory McIlroy on the top of his game, playing with confidence, and he just looks completely bulletproof. When, you know, I thought it was over on you wouldn't necessarily say it with all golfers, but when he had a 6-shot lead going into the last round, there was no way he was going to be caught. Was it Harrington was making the point, though, it's an interesting, he's got golfers have A games and B games, and Tiger Woods had a very good B game, that when things weren't firing, he would never get below a certain level. McIlroy's B game is spectacularly bad. If he finds his A game is unbeatable. If he finds a better B game, he could go on from here, as was expected to do the first time he broke through, and completely dominate the sport.
I don't know how last people like Greg Allen, I'm sure, would know. When last do we have three Irishmen in the top 10 finishers in the British Open, Conor?
Oh God,
yeah.
There was great golf played as well by...
Oh, fantastic. Shane Lowry shot 65 yesterday, which, you know, did he finish in the top 5 or 6, which is tremendous achievement. You know, you had Darren Clark doing very well for the oldies and the not-so-fatties anymore. Graeme O'Dowell, you know, things are very buoyant again. But I suppose they were never that far
away. Yes, I think Peter Annis at one moment, he mentioned that there's Darren Clark, or what's left of him.
Yeah.
He's got very big, as they call them, guns. He's got very big muscles. They look slightly out of place on the rest of them these days. He's obviously been working on his upper body strength, but the rest of them has shrunk away completely.
Now to Croke Park, Fiona. A great day for the Dubs. 3:20 to Meads 1:10. But really, it wasn't even a walk in the park. It was more like a stroll.
It was completely over by half time. You know, I suppose, personally, I thought that Meath would be better. I thought they would have a little bit more spirit. I thought they were extremely poor. But you can't take away from the fact that what we are watching, and I mean, I have been whispering it for a while, and now I've decided to say it out loud. I think this Dublin team are the greatest Gaelic football team we have ever seen. And I think they will dominate the sport for years to come. You look at the minors yesterday, had a terrific game. The under-21s is very strong. And I don't see it ending anytime soon. I mean, and I don't know, you know, obviously I'm biased, but I think they are as good. I gather somebody on the commentary yesterday made the point that the only team who can beat Dublin are the Dublin subs. And, you know what I mean? I think that's interesting.
They've got 15 Rory McIlroys, but do they have a B game? That's the question that maybe Donegal
might ask of them before the
end of the summer.
Dublin are doing an awful lot of things. Dublin County Board, they're doing an awful lot of things right. Development and the minors, the under-14s, 15s, 16s, minors, 21s. It's all very, very positive at the moment. And will continue to be so, I would imagine. It's very hard to see where this is going to stop. But they haven't exactly, you know, it's the same bunch of players for a wee while. They've turned over a few, but not that many. But they haven't dominated massively for the last 10 years. So, to say they're the greatest team ever, I would say we'd have to wait a wee while before we can throw them up there. They're certainly the best team at the moment. Their biggest problem potentially will be their defence. I think that fundamentally, they can change anybody in the forward line and they're going to be okay. But once you go into the defence, if you lose one or two players there through injury or whatever, they don't have the same backup there.
Well, we know Johnny Cooper yesterday, bear in mind.
Yeah, but you weren't challenged yesterday. Mm. That's the other side of it. I mean, if you lose their full back, if Rory O'Carroll goes, you would ask questions that they may not have the same. And nobody's tested. I think if you really take them and somebody can stay with them for 45, 50 minutes and keeps going with them, that's uncharted territory for them. And they'd struggle.
Is there a more awesome sight in Gaelic football at the moment than Kevin McManaman bearing down on goal?
Well, Dublin have a lot of awesome sights. I only saw about 5 minutes of yesterday's game live. I watched it in a pub in the Diamond in Clonus, and even then the clash of cultures was absolutely mind jarring, because I kind of knew this is the Ulster final hadn't started yet, but I knew that the game we were going to see would be far removed in every way from what you're seeing in Dublin. It was like that was just before half time in the Dublin game, and already it looked like a stroll in the park. They are sensational, Dublin, but it's worth remembering that only last September they were, what, 1 point, was it, better than Mayo, who tend to be cast as congenital losers, in contrast to the Dubs, absolutely tearing up the record books, winning ability.
But you only need to be 1 point better.
Yeah,
you know?
I know, but the Dubs, yeah, no, I agree, and that's what that's the way most teams think, but the Dubs, yesterday, what was it, 16 points, that seems to have become the routine, and yet, you know, as recently as last September, they were in a little bit of a dogfight, and if against a team with a little bit more metal, maybe, dare I say, well, that, with the risk of annoying some Mayo people, they might have been caught.
Conor, what about the Ulster champions? A lot of people had been writing off Donegal earlier in the year, saying, oh no, their best days are behind them. But there was a very happy looking Jim McGuinness. Jimmy's winning matches. He's still winning matches at the end of that Ulster final.
Absolutely. They come back. Was it 3 out of 4 they've now won? So in fairness, from where Donegal have come from, it's a huge achievement. For me personally, I think it's horrible to watch. It's just on a personal note, I don't enjoy how they play football. I thought Monaghan helped tremendously in their own downfall. I thought the use of the ball was very, very poor. It was too slow. It was pedestrian. They allowed Donegal to filter back. So, you know, you'd have to say, well, Donegal were very good in what they do, and we all know that. But, you know, they're not as free scoring as they were prior to that, I don't think. You'd have to wonder, if they come up against the likes, you talk about the likes of the Dublins who run at you incessantly, if they can keep doing that and keep that defensive rigidity and discipline, which can be very, very difficult to do. One guy falls short, the whole thing breaks down slightly. So it's tremendous for them. It's, from a purist point of view, it's not great to watch, but, you know, Donegal really won't care about that this morning. They've another Ulster title.
What was it like to be there for Monaghan, for a Monaghan man yesterday, Frank?
I've got to say, it was a great occasion as usual. Clonus was wonderful, especially that we know we're not going to have it for much longer. We were enjoying soaking up the atmosphere.
That's because of a big plan to develop Casement Park
in 2016. So I think next year is the last Ulster final in Clonus. So we were enjoying the Diamond and Fermanagh Street and all the crack beforehand. But then as soon as the game started, I have to say, within about 5 minutes, I think the outcome was determined. You sensed before, and it was always going to be a chess match. Neither side wanted to fall behind. That was kind of crucial to both game plans. And Donegal got, Monaghan missed a couple of chances early on. Donegal got 2 or 3 points. And by that stage, then suddenly we were playing long balls into a single forward, sometimes a solitary forward, who was surrounded by 5 or 6 Donegal players and had absolutely no chance of winning it. And so it continued. I will say, in defence of Monaghan, they kept battling to the end. They didn't probably deserve to be within a score of Donegal, but they were for most of the second half. They got one goal out of nothing. So to the very end, you were hoping that a second goal, that, you know, maybe even the last minute, a Hail Mary pass might have resulted in a second goal, and we would have got a replay, which is, I'm sure many Meath fans would prefer to be able to say that they were still in with some kind of a shout, even mathematically, late in the game.
So even
at least we had that. But to be honest, I thought the game was over after 5-10 minutes.
I find that strange, Frank, in the sense that I was in Croke Park, got home, started to watch the golf on the Ulster final, right, and hopping and trotting between channels, and felt it safe to go back to the golf, and Donegal seemed to be, what, 4 points ahead 10 minutes into the second half, and then by the time I got back to them, there was only a point in it. And you say that didn't convince you.
Yeah, the goal was completely against the run of play. It was from a mistake, as it was probably always going to be, but brilliantly finished by Chris McGuinness. And there was a chance then for a fleeting moment. You thought, can this turn the game against a more emotionally brittle team maybe than Donegal? It might have done, but there was no real momentum. Donegal shrugged it off. They scored, I think, the next 3 points. It was one of those blips. It was exciting for a few minutes. It didn't really alter the course of the game. And to be honest, Donegal should probably have won by 6 or 7 points instead of the three.
Donegal never win by 6 or 7
no,
points.
No, they don't. It's the nature, of the game, of the way we play. They do enough, and they did enough, and they were never really in danger yesterday.
Conor, there are more than the two Ulster teams, among them Armagh, still left in it. They beat Roscommon.
They did. But a strange one. It was hard to know who was going to be favourite going into that game. There was a lot maybe expected of Roscommon. I think that Armagh really are going through a huge transition. Kieran McGeaney is involved with them, with Paul Grimley. I think you see an awful lot of what Kieran McGeaney did with Kildare has now come back up to Armagh again. They sort of lost their way a wee bit. He's now, the defensive structure is much better. And in fairness to them, they try to kick the ball forward at pace. I think there was even a score showed last night from end to end. There was a ball kicked over the bar within sort of 20 odd seconds or so. So they are trying to do it. I don't think the personnel is anywhere near as strong as it used to be, but it was a very good win for them. And they're sticky, they're big, strong and physical. But, you know, you think the end of the road is really coming.
And Clare and Kildare, that was another match. I think you saw that, Frank, did you?
Actually, I didn't see that, and I wish I had, because we are now playing Kildare, and I'm very intrigued to know whether Kildare are as poor as the scoreline in that game would suggest, or whether maybe Clare are better than any was giving them credit for. Because I think, did Kildare have to win? They had to score the last
seven
points to win that game.
I watched the Kildare down game, and then I only seen that really the highlights of yesterday's. But the one thing it showed, that the Kildare really defensively aren't as strong as they used to be, and they're very slow to start. Mm. And if they slow start, they could really struggle.
And it's a very low score for Kildare compared with some of the things they would have done in recent years.
And in hurling, Wexford came through. They're now in the last eight.
Well,
Fiona,
I mean, this was the match of the weekend, the Waterford-Wexford game. It was a fantastic display. I don't know about anyone else, but for me, this hurling championship seems to be going on forever. It's endless, and it's because there's been so many replays. But we have seen some astonishing games. And I suppose, really, you know, credit to the occasionally labyrinthine qualifying structures in hurling, but they are definitely throwing up really interesting games, and we've still four teams in it.
Fiona, I think your words maybe nailed to the back of the dressing room door in the Kerry training room, training ground. Tell Fiona to cool her jets. They aren't as good as the Kerry team of the 80s, and because they had natural footballers, not lads trained within an inch of their lives. Plus, they didn't play all their matches at home, as the Dubs are never asked to leave Croke Park, even in the earlier rounds. And then the greatest team ever was Kerry, 1975-86. Eight All Ireland, says Noel. We'll watch that one, see how it develops. But, you know, they have a great future, it would seem, stretching out ahead of them. Just one last word, the biting incident, as it's being called, yesterday in Croke Park. The Meath substitute, Michael Burke, and I think Owen O'Gara was the man there. What do you think of that? How far is it going to go, Conor?
It's hard to know. Number one, I suppose there's two questions. What was his hand or finger doing up around his face and in his mouth? And number two, why was it bitten if it was? So there's questions on both sides. Biting is, it's absolute no-no. We know that. It shouldn't happen. The pictures tell a story, and if the story is what they, then it needs to be dealt with. It needs to stop. End of story.
But the pictures also suggest that it's not quite Luis Suarez in terms of the absence of provocation by by the person on the biting side. I'll just say that.
By D.
By tea, is that the word?
And Fiona, you were wondering, I think we were just chatting before or during the break, whether it was wise of the Meath manager to.
I thought it was a little rash of Mick O'Dowd to bring it to the media's attention. I wonder if he had realised. I wonder when he sees the pictures we're seeing today, will he go, "Oh, kind of wish I hadn't mentioned that now."
Spoken like a true blue. We leave it there. Fiona Looney, Frank McNally, and Conor Deegan. Thank you all for being with us.